Good morning and welcome to Lincoln County Connections. I'm Casey Miller, Lincoln County's Public Information Officer, and we should have Tony Collins of Willamette Valley Communications on the line. Tony, are you there?
I am there. Good morning.
You know, Tony, I think you and I met at one of our solar eclipse planning meetings.
Correct.
Opportunity to work with you and see Willamette Valley in action as part of those planning meetings. You had had a new service coming out. I think it's unfolded as that text 911. And that was kind of the incentive for us to begin our conversation, I think. But then I realized, you know, I've never had you guys on the show. I really need to learn more about the service you provide our community as a 911 call center. So here you are, and a pleasure to have you here.
Thank you. I'm happy to be here.
Tony, where are you coming from right now?
I am in Salem right now.
And you are probably at the center.
I am at the center. That is correct.
Tony, can you give us just a bird's eye view? What is Willamette Valley Communications? What are 911 call centers?
A broad overview. We'll start kind of at the state level. Here in the state of Oregon, we have over 40 911 centers. They're called, our term for them is a PSAP. It's Public Safety Answering Point, so PSAP.
Okay.
If you ever read about 911 centers, you'd see that abbreviation of us or
PSAP.
Acronym. So that's kind of what we're called, over 40 of them in the state. Our center here in Salem, Willamette Valley, we dispatch for three different counties. We dispatch for portions of Marion County, including the city of Salem. We dispatch for Polk County, and we dispatch for portions of Lincoln County. Lincoln County has three different PSAPs answering the call, so our PSAP is one of them, and then there's one in Toledo and also one in Lincoln City.
Tony, give us an idea. What would we see when we walked into your call center? Because I remember when we were transferring to your services, it's been some time now. Has it been maybe about like 5 years?
5 years, yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I remember the tours some individuals were going through over there and coming back and saying, man, this place is amazing. You won't believe it. What does it look like in a call center?
So we're a large call center for a 911 center in the state. Well, our volume, we kind of go between number two and number three, depending on our call volume in the state. Portland's 911 is the largest one, and then we're either right behind them or one down from them. Our center is, it's kind of looks like cubicles, but they're short cubicles.
Mm-hmm.
We have about 20 different positions we can sit people at. Not all of them are full all the time. It depends on the time of the day. We have different staffing needs for different times of the day because different times of the day are busier. During the middle of the day, starting 10 o'clock in the morning, and then going through the early evening, we have more people on duty because it's busier. There's a lot more calls, especially in the afternoon. We're very busy in the afternoon.
Busy in the afternoon, and that sort of ebb and flow. When is the most quiet or mellow time at the call center?
You know, it kind of depends. Early mornings, like 3, 4, or 5 o'clock in the morning are usually quieter, but during that time, you can have all kinds of stuff happen. It just depends. One thing that's interesting is weather affects how busy we are. You know, if it's bad weather outside, there's like torrential rain, lots of wind or snow, or when it's really hot, we are very busy.
What's the official title for someone who's receiving those calls?
So we have different job classifications within our center. Some centers have all the same classification generally. Others split it up. Ours is one of the ones that split it up. So our very base job, which is a very difficult job, is call taker.
Mm-hmm.
So these people, we hire them and we train them for quite some time before they're able to do it by themselves. We have an in-house training program that lasts 6 to 7 weeks where they're in a classroom learning how to operate all of the computer systems. Because dispatchers sit in front of many screens.
Yeah.
And they run computers all day long. Everything is a computer now. Even the telephone is a computer. All computerized. So they learn how to do that and learn how to, they learn all of our policies, which we have quite a few.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the base level job. And then a promotional opportunity after they've been here for a while. They're not available until after their 18-month probation as they can start moving up to radio dispatchers. So we have police dispatchers. And so that adds on top of the 911 call taker. And then after they've mastered that, they can also move on to fire dispatching. So they have different steps that they can go through during their careers. And then above that, we have what's called a CS3. So our actual jobs are labeled CT for call taker, CS1 for police dispatcher, CS2 for police call taker fire dispatcher. Then a CS3 is like they have all of those things, plus then they're a lead trainer. Mm-hmm. So they spend a lot of time assisting in the training on top of being a dispatcher. And then we have shift supervisors. We have 7 of those in our center, and they work just like the call takers and everybody else. We have one on duty 24 hours a day. One of our shift supervisors, depending on when they, in 3-year blocks, we move them in and out of the training coordinator position. So sometimes they come out of the actual dispatch unit and they're the training coordinator, and they participate in hiring and training all of the new people, running the recruitments and that kind of thing, and keeping up on all of our certifications.
Yeah, Tony, it sounds like a lot of training and a lot of specialty knowledge.
Yes.
That really you can only get in-house there. I mean, I imagine, there's other types of work that might, compare, but really it's a unique type of business.
Correct. It's very unique. There's things that people can do with schooling. There, I know in the state there's a couple of different colleges that have a 911 program. They teach you kind of an overview, but each center is unique because of they dispatch for multiple departments. We have nearly 30 different departments we dispatch for, police, fire, and medical. So we have a lot of knowledge that are specific to each one of those agencies, and our dispatchers and call takers have to learn what those different entities need from us.
Yeah.
And so everywhere you go in any PSAP, you're going to have to know that kind of thing, plus the geography. Our dispatchers are learning geography for 3 different counties in the state. So, because obviously people expect us to know what they're talking about when they call in.
Yeah, right. Well, Tony, let's take a quick break and we'll come back and you can enlighten us some more about when to use 911, when not to use 911. So hang with us. We'll be back in just a moment, Tony.
Thank you.
Welcome back to Connections with Casey Miller. That is me, Public Information Officer for Lincoln County. We've got Tony Collins online, Willamette Valley Communications. Tony, are you with us?
I am.
Tony, one of the things that we've been working on recently is an eclipse guide from emergency management at the county. And I was learning more about when to properly use 911 because that's one of the bullet points in our guide. And, you know, I kind of recall a situation I was in with my family driving when I had used 911. And I kind of realize now that I probably used it, inappropriately. I wasn't in a life-threatening situation. Can you provide our listeners general best practices for using 911?
You bet. So 911 is generally designed for stuff that is happening right in the moment or that has just happened. And by just happened, I mean within the last couple of minutes, not a half an hour ago or 45 minutes ago. 911, a broad range of things. There's law enforcement matters, medical need, fire department need. It's not used to get information. It's used to report things to us so we can send the proper response out to people. So if the driving thing that you were discussing there maybe was happening right then, that could be a useful thing because we could go and look for that vehicle depending on the circumstance. It's stuff that's happening in the moment or that had just happened is what 911 is for.
Yeah. Is it maybe sometimes occurs that, you know, We're traumatized by whatever we're going through. But, you know, when we call your call takers, I mean, they will walk us through that, right? If there's some other means which we should be using, like, say, calling the local sheriff's line or something like that.
Sure. Yes, that is correct. They determine, the call taker is who's going to determine if what you have is an emergency or not by the questions they ask you and what your responses to the questions are. So they're trained to know what kind of things are in reality emergent. And we all understand that when something happens to anybody that can be traumatic, we have to look at it from a standpoint, does this rise to the level of emergency or does it not? So they're trained to know that. The person might believe it's an emergency, and we believe that they believe that, but we have to kind of sift through their emotions and figure out if that really comes to our criteria of what an emergency is or not.
Yeah, I imagine that's part of that training that you take your call takers through. And I can just imagine now some simulations you're putting those individuals through to help them get used to really being agile with a very emotional person on the other end of the line.
Correct. That is correct. It takes a lot of skill and a lot of practice to be able to work with a person, to try to calm and comfort them, and you have to keep your own emotions in check.
Yeah. So, you know, I didn't think about this in advance of our show, Tony, so I don't mean to put you in the spot, but do you have any idea on the kind of call volume that you receive through Lincoln County?
Through Lincoln County specifically, I would have to look at facts and figures.
Sure.
I can tell you our center as a whole, over the course of a year, we receive not only 911 calls, but we receive non-emergency calls as well.
Mm-hmm.
So you had mentioned a couple minutes ago calling the local sheriff's department number. There's many numbers that come into us. It's coming into the same exact room and the same people are talking to them as 911. It's just that it comes on a different phone line.
Got you.
So they're taking all kinds of calls in between 911 calls. So they're trained to, the 911 calls come first, they answer those. There's many times that people will be on a non-emergency call and they have to put that on hold to answer a 911 call because they're coming. For our center as a whole, over the course of a year, we receive right around, I'd say somewhere between 375 and 400,000 calls.
Wow.
So
just
it's a
amazing,
busy, busy
man.
Place.
Yeah, I guess.
Yeah.
Tony, when we want to find out more information, do you have like FAQs on the Willamette Valley webpage? Where could we, I noticed you have a Facebook page too that's pretty active. Where could we learn more about how to use 911?
So there's different resources out there. Somebody can just Google 911, what is an emergency, and all kinds of stuff comes up. You can look at our webpage. You can look at our Facebook page. Other 911 centers have them as well. And we all kind of try to say the same messages because we all deal with the same kind of issues, and we operate similarly. Every jurisdiction has different ways they do things, but overall we try to do things sort of similar.
Okay. Well, Tony, let's take our last break, and we'll come back and learn more from you and Willamette Valley Communications. So we'll be back in just a moment.
Great. Thank you.
I'm Casey Miller, Lincoln County's Public Information Officer. This is County Connections. We've got Tony Collins on the line, Willamette Valley Communications. Hi, Tony.
Hello.
Tony, I did want to talk about text to 911. It sounds like this is a fairly new feature you've added. When did this get implemented?
So for our text to 911, we started at the end of May. We had a lot of testing prior to that, and then at the end of May, we turned the text to 911 on to the public for the public to use. In addition to calling 911, you can text to 911 now.
Yeah, it seems like a really great feature that has some maybe very specific uses. So it seems like the general practice when I've been reading some of your material is, you know, use the text feature when you can't call. Is that our general best practice here?
That is. And the state implementation for text to 911 is going throughout the state now. Some centers have it now, some centers don't. Mm. It's just a kind of a march out when the center's ready to provide it. The first centers in the state that had it were up in the Portland metro area. They started last fall. And we all have the same saying, call if you can, text if you can.
Yes.
And the reason for that is a phone call goes much faster than a text. It's just like in real life, if you're talking to somebody,
sure,
you can speak and get your point across much quicker, and you get immediate responses versus texting, where it takes longer to get responses back, and it's sometimes harder to describe what's going on.
Sure.
But the specific uses for it are, there's going to be times where people need to speak to 911, and they might not want the other person that's involved or other persons involved to know that that's what they're doing. So it's easier to text because it isn't as noticeable. If somebody were to break into your house and you didn't want them to hear, obviously, that you're talking to 911, you can text it. Something else that is a great jump ahead, in my opinion, for text to 911 is working with people who have hearing impairment, are deaf, or also have speech impediments. They can easily contact us now for text to 911, and it goes much quicker than the ways they could have texted us or gotten a hold of us before. So for them, it's an actual speed up versus it's slower for people that communicate in normal means.
Yeah, fantastic. I hadn't thought about that population, and certainly an advantage there for the hearing impaired, of course. Mm-hmm. Tony, using text to 911, so you had mentioned that maybe generally it's a little bit slower, so those expectations there are for maybe to take more time?
It's slower just by the nature, because you have to text somebody, wait for the reply back. They text you, wait for the reply back. It goes back and forth like that. And it you can only ask certain questions, and they play off of each other. It goes faster by voice, which is why we'd want people to call if they possibly can. But we realize that there's circumstances that people just, it's dangerous for them to call, and that's really what it's for, or if they can't call for some physical reason of their own. It's a great thing. A little bit about text to 911, it does not come over a phone line. Obviously, you're on your cell phone and you're texting, and it's going out like a cell phone call would or a text. On our end, it comes to a computer that's completely separate from phone lines. It's a whole separate system.
Gotcha.
Isn't part of our telephone system or anything yet. We're not quite there yet. It's a separate third-party company that we deal with that has this texting software.
Well, you know, maybe a good point there, too, that if you're using that, and that could be subject to its own, you know, technical glitches, perhaps. Like, for example, today, I'm trying to receive my dual authentication from Google to get into my email, and for some reason, I am not getting those texts. Something like this has never happened to me before, but proof that even, you know, text sometimes has intermittent service.
Yeah, anytime you're dealing with a computer, you run, computers are what they are, and they have glitches sometimes. Our computer systems that we have here are very reliable. They're on isolated networks, so they're not in with everything else. They're not in with emails and all that stuff. So we have better isolation from other things, but they're still computers.
Yeah. Well, Tony, I really appreciate you coming on the show today. We are at a close here, and with 10 seconds left, tell us where we can find you online.
So you can find us online just by Googling WVCC. So that stands for Willamette Valley Communications.
Okay. Well, Tony Collins, Willamette Valley Communications, pleasure having you on the program today, and we'd love to have you back. Have a great day.
Thank you. You too.